Today's share is Masechta Gittin Daf Mem Hey. We will begin Amid Bezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Dalad Amid Beis, 6 lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, Omer of Anan Shmati Minei Derab Mashmul Tati. I heard from Shmuel 2 halachas regarding where a transaction is voided. It says the Gemara Chada, one case I heard was Chach. What we've been learning in our Mishnah and our Gemara, that if somebody sells his Eved to Chutz Laretz, the halacha is that the Eved goes free. Vidach Itmar, and the other halacha that I learned was Hamoiches Seuda B'Shnas HaYoivel Atzma. We know that during the Yoivel year, all properties, the halacha is that all properties go back to their owner. Rav Amar, but there's a Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, exactly how does this work? Rav says, Mechura v'yotza, it's the sale is a valid sale, but immediately after the sale takes place, the halacha is that it goes back to the person who sold it. V'shmul amar, ein mechura kalikar. The sale is not a valid sale, because since the sale took place in the Yovel year, the halacha doesn't give any validity to the sale. The chada, in one of these 2 halachas, Shmuel says chadazvili, that the sale is retroactively null and void, and because the sale is retroactively null and void, the money that the buyer received, he has to give back to the. He has to give back to the buyer gets back his money. V'chada, and by one of them, he paskind, Shmuel paskind, lohadras vini, the sale is not null and void, and therefore he doesn't have, the buyer loses his money. But, the Gemara says, v'layudana ehay menayu, I'm not exactly sure which one is which. So Rashi right away asks, how could we suggest that we don't know where he said that. He said that if they're both going to agree that Rav says there is a sale by Yovel and Shmuel says that there is no sale, so it's obviously that Shmuel holds that the money, there was never a sale. If there was never a sale, the money goes back. So there's a number of answers. One answer is that the question is, we know that there's a kinyan known as kinyan agav, that when you buy karka, you could buy with it the metaltlin. And the machlokes here is, do we say kinyan agav or not? Says the Gemara, midatani. So Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, nachseyanan, let's try analyze. Midatani bebraisa, since we learned in a braisa, hamoicha avdai l'chutz laretz, if somebody sells his ever to chutz laretz, the halacha is Yotze l'cheiris, the ever goes free. However, tzarech gets shichra mirabbi sheni, he needs to get a shtar shichra from the second owner. Shmamina, this is a clear indication that kanye rabbi sheni, that the sale to the second owner was a valid sale. Because if the sale to the second owner wasn't a valid sale, if that sale wasn't a valid sale, then why would he need a get shichra? And that's clearly an indication that the sale is not null and void. And when Shmuel said that when you sell a field in Yovel, it's not considered a sale, what it means is that the sale never took place. And since the sale never took place, the halacha is the buyer gets back his money. Rav Anan, says the Gemara, Rav Anan that had a question, the Gemara is now asking, how could Rav Anan have a question? Isn't this obvious what the answer is? Rav Anan Breisa L'Shmilei. Rav Anan wasn't aware of this Breisa. He, if were to answer the Shmuel, by the fact that Shmuel argued with Rav, that Rav said that the Shmuel said that the sale of in Yovel is null and void, Mamai, Da'ena Mechura, that in itself is not necessarily a conclusive proof that he holds that the sale is not sale and the buyer is entitled to get his money back. Because my denim mechura ma'is choizrin, who says that what it meant was that it's not a sale and therefore the buyer is entitled to get his money back? Dilma, maybe the way to look at it is ena mechura, that indeed the sale is not a sale, but the way to look at the money, the way to look at the money is ma'as matana ninu. The money is considered a gift. And the way the Rishonim explain, why would we consider it a gift? So the Rishonim give a beautiful explanation. Everybody knows that a sale during the Yovel year is not a sale. So if everybody knows that a sale is not a in the Yovel year is not a sale, why would he have given the money? The fact that he gave the money is clearly an indication that he wanted to give, maybe it's an indication that he wanted to give the gift as a, the money as a gift. And therefore, the halacha is that the, maybe even though Shmuel says that the sale is not a valid sale, the money doesn't go back. And the Gemara cites a precedent for this. If somebody did an act of kedushin with a sister, ditmar, we learned hamakadosh asachoisai, if somebody does kedushin with a sister, Rav Amar Mayus Chayzrin, the money, she has to give back the money because it was clearly a meaningless act. The Shmuel Amar, the Shmuel on the other hand holds Maas Matana, we recognize that the money is a gift. And why? Because, as we just explained, everybody knows that you can't be Mekadosh sister. And since everyone knows that you can't be Mekadosh sister, so when one went through this frivolous act, what he obviously meant to do was to, what he obviously meant to do was just to give her a gift. And he gave her a gift in this fashion. And since it's considered that he gave her a gift in this fashion, that's why Shmuel says she keeps the money. So the obvious question is, why, when somebody buys a property in the Yovel year, where it's obvious that the transaction is meaningless, the buyer gets back his money? And why over here is the halacha that we view it as Maas Matana? So Tosfos answers that as far as Kedushin is concerned, everybody knows that you can't marry a sister. So since everyone is aware that you can't marry a sister, that's why the money is considered a matana. Not everybody, says Tosfos, is as familiar with Hilchos Yovel. And since not everyone is familiar with Hilchos Yovel, therefore, the halacha is that by Yovel, we say he didn't mean to give it a gift. The Ramban gives a different explanation. The Ramban says there's a question which we've discussed regarding Shemitah, but the same question comes up regarding Yovel. When does Yovel take effect? Shemitah, we had a Machlokes Rishonim. When does Shemitah take effect? If it takes effect at the beginning of the year or at the end of the year? Says the Ramban, Yovel certainly takes effect at the beginning of the year. But this person made an error in believing that Yovel takes effect at the Yovel takes place in the beginning of the year, but he made an error and thought it takes effect at the end of the year. And that's why he thought that since it's still the beginning of the year, the sale is a valid sale. And that's why the halacha is the buyer is entitled to get back his money. Amalei, Baal Rabbi Yosef. So Baal asks Rabbi Yosef, so yes, if somebody sells his ever to Chutz Laretz, we're learning, as we've been learning in our last couple of shurim, the ever goes free. And the halacha is that the seller does not have to give back the buyer the money he paid. So ask the Gemara, Amalei Baal Rabbi Yosef, Machaz of the Kansina Lokeach, why did Chazal punish the buyer and he loses his money, Niknasila Meicher, who sold his Eved to Chutz Laretz, Amalei? So he answered that the reason we punish the buyer, the La Achbar Ganef, it's not the mouse who steals, it's the hole that he has where to put it into. Here too, if there was no Lekeach who was willing to pay for it, then nothing would have happened. Says the Gemara, Amalei, So Abaya asks Yosef, why are we so focused on the buyer, the chura? But if you have achbara, chura menale. If we didn't have a mouse, then the hole wouldn't make a difference. In other words, the seller should be held as much as responsible as the buyer. Answers the Gemara, Mestabra hechad ikas surah, where the issa took place, the eved is in the possession of the buyer. That's why he should be the one to be punished. Says the Gemara, who avdu the arik mechutz laaretz laaretz. There was a eved who ran from chutz laaretz to Yisrael. Azamar besrei, the owner followed him to make him come back to Yisrael. Asla kamed Rav Ami, and the owner came to Rav Ami. Amalei nichtav lo shtar admei. He said, so Rav Ami said, the eved should write to you a document that he has to pay you the amount that he's worth. The kosel gita dechrisa, and you should write him a shtar shikhar. Viloy, because if you won't do so, he said, mefakne miloch, I will anyway cause that, I will anyway paskin that the eved should go free. The pasuk says, the Tanya, the pasuk says, layesh ba'atzcha panyachdia eschali, that the Shiva Umis that live in Eretz Yisrael originally should not remain in Eretz Yisrael because we're concerned that Klal Yisrael will learn from their behavior. Yochel, so we think, we're speaking here about a non-Jew who accepted not to worship Avodah Zarah. Tamalayim le'saska Eved al Adonov, ashir natzolach me'avdonov. The pasuk says that Eved who ran away from his owner, that means it's a that Yisrael, and we're concerned that if we won't let him remain in Yisrael, and we'll force him to go back to Chutz Lo'atz, he may go back to his old ways of worshiping on Avodah Zarah. Ma takanasoi, what should we do? Imcha yeshe bekirbecha, he remains with you. So we see that the Eved is entitled to remain in Yisrael. Says the Gemara, the Kashla Rabbi Isha, when Rabbi Isha learned this brisa, hi, is the way to learn this pasuk this way, Ashinotzalach Meim Adonav, the Avodah Zarah is not his owner. Meim Aviv by Lameimah. The pasuk should have started saying Meim Aviv, because the pasuk at the beginning says, Lo Saskir Ever Al Adonav, and Adonav, Rashi explains, means Avodah Zarah. Soon the pasuk continued saying that way, Alamar Avoshia, says the way to understand the pasuk. The pasuk is referring to Meicha Avdel Chutz Laaretz, that if somebody sold his Eved Kanani from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz, Hakosa Medaber, and the pasuk is teaching us that you should not leave the Eved in Chutz Laaretz. The Kashla Rachim Rav Oshia, and Rav Achi asked on Rav Oshia, hi, Ashin Notzal Lecha, is that coming to teach us about an Eved that you want to send to Chutz Laaretz? If that's what the pasuk was meaning to teach us, that the pasuk is teaching that you sold, if the pasuk is speaking about somebody who sold his eved to chutz laaretz, is she not sumi imach mebayalei? Rather, therefore, says Ela Amar Vach Rabbeisha, be'eved shebarach b'chutz laaretz hakos medaver. The pasuk is referring to an eved that ran from chutz laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, and the pasuk is telling us that once he came to Eretz Yisrael, you should make sure that he's not returned, that he makes sure that he should not return. And the Chinuch says very powerful words regarding this. The Chinuch is a mitzvah tuf kuf samaches. Bava shenichnas bebika tohira and nefcheres lavad by Hashem Yisbaruch, because he came to the place where he could worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu that best, and therefore it says the Chinuch, Kidei shenosan libeinu kvar amokim, v'nikva b'levenu b'yosham yiras shemayim yisala, and at Yisrael you could have the highest level of yirashemayim, v'kolza la'amoy l'schosam kichavetz chesaru. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made such a rule, says the Chinuch, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to have the highest level, to live a life of the highest level of yirashemayim. Tanya idach, that's why he said that if the Eved ran from Chutz Laaretz to Yisrael, we have to leave him there and you have to free him. Tan Yidach. But then the Braisa says, like a different explanation of this pasuk. Le'saske Eved al Adonov, Rebbe Oymer b'lekeach Eved amnas l'shachrei kos medaber. That somebody bought an Eved with the intention of freeing him. And the pasuk is telling us that the owner is obligated to follow that obligation. Says the Gemara, Hechidomi, what is the case that we're speaking about? Omar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, the Kosle Hocha, he wrote him, Lekecha, the moment I buy you, Harei Atzmach Konoloim Achshav. He said to him that you're free from now. So there's a very interesting question that the Chassam Sofer and the Shas HaTshuvas Chassam Sofer, Evan Ezra Chelek Aleph, Siman Yud Aleph, talks about. Rachman Tzlan Lo Yaleinu Ve Lo Yaleichem, he discusses a woman who unfortunately became emotionally unstable, and her husband cannot remain with her, but of course, how is she to receive a get? So the halacha is, under those circumstances, a hetamei rabbonim is done, where rabbonim allow him to get remarried. And part of the process of the hetamei rabbonim is that a get is left for her in the bezdin, that mitzvashem, when she's able to receive a get, she could pick it up. And the Chassam Sofer discusses, how could such a get be valid if right now she is in the situation that she's mentally unable to receive a get? So he says that our Gemara is a raya that could be done. Because our Gemara says that somebody could make a commitment to an Eved that when I shall buy you, you will go free. So even though that's unlikely, and how, just because I walk over to the person, I say, when I buy you, you could be free, still the halacha is that it's good enough. Because as far as the halacha of shtar shichur, it's good enough. So says the Chassam Sofer, if it's good enough for shtar shichur, then it's going to also be good enough for a get. Says the Gemara, Rav Chisda Arkle Avdel Beikotoi, Rav Chisda's Eved ran away to the Kutim. Shalchalu, so Rav Chisda sent to them a demand, Hadru, return him to me. Shalchalei, the pasuk says, Loisazga Eved Al Donov, the pasuk that we've been discussing. So he said to him, Shalchalu, Hahu be'Eved Shebarach Mechutz Laretz Laretz. That's referring specifically to a case where Eved ran away from Chutz Laretz at Yisrael. The Rabbi Achibur Rabbi Isha. Why do you bring that limud? Because the kutim don't accept what Chazal say. And therefore, since the kutim don't accept what Chazal say, saying a drosha from the Chazal wouldn't be of any help. But taking a pasuk and saying that that's the simple pshat in the pasuk is something that the kutim could relate to. And since that's something that the kutim could relate to, he sent them a pasuk that the kutim can't argue in the pshat of that pasuk. Irchas lei Rav Chisda Abaya, Irchas lei Chamer Bekutoi. Abaya lost a donkey by the kutim. Sholchel hu shadruli. So he sent them a message: send back my donkey to me. Sholchelay sholach simna. So he said, the kutim told him, give us a simen. Sholchel the chivra kreisei. He has a white belly. Sholchelhu ilav de nachmeniat lohav mshadu lanoilach. We wouldn't, if not that you were a Abaya, we wouldn't have spent it. This would not be an adequate simon. Why? Because he said, otakul chamer lav krisai chivinenu. All donkeys have a white belly. So the way I saw it, the Rishayim and Achlanu explained the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't mean to say that all donkeys have a white belly. Most donkeys have a white belly. So what he meant to say was that since most donkeys have a white belly, this remains a simen she'ena muvik. And as we've discussed in Shiurim, a simen muvik is considered halachically a very strong simen. A simen she'ena muvik is not considered halachically a strong simen. So what happened here was that he said, if not for the fact that you were a Abaya, we wouldn't rely on a simen she'ena muvik. Only because you're a Abaya, we can rely on a simen she'ena muvik. Says the Mishnah, Ein poydim tzeshvun yesel kedei demayim. If somebody was kidnapped, we don't ransom him for more than he's worth. And the machlokes rishonim, what does it mean, yoser bedei demayim? Rashi explains, what is his value to be sold as an eved? The Meiri says that we live in a world where there are no slaves. So how can we make a determination based on the slave market? So he says that we look at every person and we're able to assess what his value is according to what he does and according to what he does, what he does and who he is. The Retvaz, has a different explanation. The Advaz's explanation is that what the Gemara means to say here is that what the Gemara means to say here is we look at this Eved, we look at this person if he was a Jew, if he was a non-Jew, and if he was a non-Jew and he was kidnapped, how much would we pay for his ransom? That's the amount we pay for this individual. So again, because we don't want to have a world that people will be able to, people will start kidnapping and know that they could take whatever price they want. Furthermore, we don't help a captive individual run away because that will get the captors angry. That we're concerned not about the future, but we're worried about the people who are already in captivity, how they will treat it. How will be the treated? So the Gemara says that we're learning that we can't ransom somebody from an exorbitant ransom. And the Gemara gives two reasons. One is, it's too difficult for the community to pay such a high ransom. And also, the Gemara says we're concerned not to encourage people to capture more people. So according to the first reason, this is only a concern that we're worried about the communal funds. It's only by a community. But if it's a private individual, he would be allowed to pay a high ransom. However, according to the second reason, where the concern is that we don't want to encourage kidnappers, then no one is allowed to pay a high ransom. The Shulchan Aruch, when it brings down this halacha, gives the second explanation, and therefore the halacha is that no one is allowed to pay an exorbitant price. However, Tosfos indicates a number of exceptions where you could pay a high ransom, even according to second explanation. One psak Tosfos gives that there's no limit to the ransom one may pay for his own release. Secondly, Tosfos says that there's no limit what a husband should pay for his wife's release, because we apply the concept of Ishtoi Kigufoi. Then Tosfos says that for the release of a great Talmud Chacham, the halacha is that we're allowed to spend a lot of money. And during a time where there's a war in the world and people are being kidnapped all over, the paying a high ransom is not going to make a difference. And therefore, the halacha is we could pay whatever price they want. Another point Tosfos makes is that when the victim's life is in danger, we also could pay an exorbitant fee. So, the Knesset Yisrael says that all of this, this heter of pikuach nefesh, is only when it's a situation of because when we're concerned of dukkah to geburah. But if the concern is not to encourage them to do this in the future, it doesn't make a difference, even if it's a situation of sakaras nefashis. Furthermore, in understanding this Gemara, there's the famous story that the Mashal brings down from Aram Rotenberg. The Aram Rotenberg was in jail in the city of Aigzem for many years, and they wanted an exorbitant fee for his release. And the Maram Rutenberg did not allow it. He said that, we just learned, the Mishnah says, "Ein paidim tishvun v'yosef gedameim." And the question is that, why was that the halacha? Haven't we just learned that the halacha is that for a Talmud Chacham, we're allowed to do whatever we have to do? So the Mashal, in explaining the Maram Rutenberg's opinion, said that the Maram Rutenberg was concerned that this would encourage them to start kidnapping all the Talmidei Chachamim, and he did not want to see that happen, and therefore, even though his life was in such danger, he did not allow them to ransom him. And of course, the Marshal comes and says from here, what we learn from here is what is the mark of a true Talmud Chacham. What we see here about a Talmud Chacham is that even though the Maram Rotenberg was in captivity and he wasn't able to learn, he wasn't able to function, he was more concerned about the benefit of the community than he was about himself. The pasuk says, "V'yerdu acha Yosef asara." And Rashi writes, "V'yerdu acha Yosef." The pasuk doesn't say Bnei Yaakov. Explains Rashi that they regretted that they sold him, and now they decided they're going to be Dachi Yosef, and they would use whatever amount of money necessary to ransom him. So Mefarshim asked, how could they have accepted that type of a, how were they ready to do so? We just learned that Ein Poidim Seshvuyin, Yosef Lekdei Demeim. So one teretz is, as Tosfos says, that if he's an Adam Gadol, he's a Chacham Gadol, then we're allowed to spend more than he's worth. Certainly, Yosef was in that category. That's one teretz. Another teretz is that here, they were the ones that caused Yosef to be kidnapped. Since they were the individuals that caused Yosef to be kidnapped, so then the halacha is that they have the obligation to spend whatever amount of money to ransom him. Rav Shach used to say that our Gemara is teaching us an incredibly important lesson. He says, our Gemara is teaching us that in life we have sometimes to make a decision. Should we look at the individual or should we look at the tzibur? And our Gemara is teaching us that we have to look at the tzibur more than at the individual. And therefore, in our Gemara, where we have a situation, should we worry about the tzibur's money or should we worry about this individual's money? The Gemara is telling us, should we worry about this individual? We're learning that we should worry about the tzibur more than about the money. Even though we're learning that the halacha is that Eim Avrichim Ashnu Uyim and Neitikin Oilam, we can't help them run away because of what the repercussions are. The Shailas Achuvis Chavis Yor says that that's only for the community. The community, as we just said, has to make decisions. And therefore, sometimes the decision is to not free him because of the repercussions. But says the Shailas Achuvis Chavis Yor, that doesn't mean that the person himself who's in captivity shouldn't run away. He should run away because he has to think about himself before anybody else. Ibailahu. So ask the Gemara, as we learned, when the Mishnah says we shouldn't overpay ransom, what was meant in the Mishnah? Are we worried about the community's funds? Because as we learned, we don't want to encourage them to kidnap more people. Toshma, says the Gemara, the Levi Badarga Parke Liberte, Levi Badarga ransomed his daughter, but Talesa Alpha didn't reserve, with 13,000 gold pieces. Omar, so we see that it's only the community that we're concerned about, but he, with his own money, could do what he wanted. Omar Abaya, says Abaya, Uman Lemel on the Ritzoy Chacham Ovid, what tells you that that was what it was the halacha wanted him to do? What he do is against the will of the Chachamim. We learned in the Mishnah, says the Gemara, one is because of the Tekanas Oilam, and one is the Tekanas Shvuyim. Ask the Ramai Benayu, when there's only one person. According to Tanakhama, that we're concerned about future captives, so it doesn't make a difference if there's only one person in captivity. But according to Shim Gamliel, that we're worried about the other people who are in captivity, that isn't a consideration here because this he's there by himself. Rav Nachman Bachshu Kadera B'Yadayu. The daughters of Rav Nachman would stir a pot, a hot pot, the contents of the pot were hot, with their bare hands. And their hands would not get burned. So whoever saw this happen thought that there must be great tzaddikus that fire can't affect them. Kashleil Rav Avish. So Rav Avish said, Adam Echem Elf Mitzasi. The pasuk says in Koheles, I could find one man amongst 1,000 men that's a tzaddik. However, v'ishu b'chaleil mitzasi, but not a woman. So how could it be that they were so righteous that they had this ness? Says, because he asked, Ika Batsid Rav Nachman, says the Gemara, Garmalu Milsa, because he said this, he gave them an ayin hara, v'shtabayu, they got kidnapped, v'shtabayu inam badayu. And Rav Ilish also got kidnapped. Says the Gemara, Yomachad Rav Yosef Gabayu Hu Gavro. One day there was sitting there an individual, Davayoda Balishna Tzipuri. He was able to understand the language of the birds. Also, over the Kokarle, a raven came and said, Amalei, the raven came and called Rav Elish. Amalei, so Rav Elish asked this guy, my kamar, exactly what is this bird saying? Amalei, so he told him that the raven is saying, Ilish Barach, run away. Amal Urva Shikrahu. An urva, a raven, is not a kosher bird, and I can't rely on it. Adach also yarnivka kari. At that point, a pigeon came, a dove came, and said and started chirping. Amalei, and again, Rav Ilish asks, "My kama, what exactly is he saying?" Amalei, Ilish barach. So he said again, he's also saying that you should run away. Amalei, Knesses Yisrael can yoina masila. We know that Kna Yisrael is compared to yoina shmamina. It's a proof that I should run away, and I have nothing to worry about. Omar, so he said, "Tell Esel Achse Benenzed Rav Nachman." But he knew that the daughters of Rav Nachman were also in captivity. Let me see what's doing with them. If they remained loyal to their husbands while they were in captivity, Ahadrinu, I will also take them with me. Omar. So then he thought to himself, how could I determine what is their situation? When we speak about women, whatever is going on privately in women's life, they speak to each other, we're in the bathroom. So he went and overheard what they were speaking. And he heard Shemina de Carmen, he heard them saying, Ade Govri, these men, these captors are behaving as if they were our husbands. The Nahadoi govern, and in Nahadoi we have husbands. So he said, let's tell our captors, let's distance ourselves from where we are. Because we're concerned that our husbands will come and redeem us, and if our husbands come and redeem us, we'll have to go back to our original husbands, and we're satisfied with these men. Come, Arak, so Rav Ilish ran away. So he and this non-Jew ran away together. Rav Nivs had a nace, and he was able to pass the river. They killed him. When they got back, and then afterwards Rav Nachman's daughters came back, this that we saw that they were able to stir the hot pot is not because they were such tzadikos, it's not that they were tzadikos at all. What they were, that they were doing it with kishuv. So our Gemara is all based on hearing birds speaking. And of course the morale goes into the explanation that birds we see speak, yet most people can't understand birds. How are we to understand this? So he says the difference between people and birds, the people and birds, is that people use their ability to speak to say all sorts of things. Birds have the ability to communicate, but their communication is limited to what is on a higher level. And therefore, only a person who's on that level could understand them. Somebody who's not on that level cannot understand them. Rabbi Kiva Eger in the Gilyan Hashas quotes the Oruch that says not that only the Nochri understood the words of the birds, but even Rav Ilish understood the words of the birds. And of course, they ask, Al Gemara says the story very different. So he explains. So I saw that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz explains the Gemara. He says that Rav Ilish heard the bird say, Ilish Baruch, Ilish Baruch. He didn't want to believe what the bird said. Because when somebody hears something, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, it's the human tendency to believe what you want to believe. So he wanted to believe that he should run away. And he was worried that that wasn't really what was being communicated. So that's why he asked the other person with him that didn't have that personal being partial, what did you hear? Says the Mishnah, again, the Mishnah says that we don't spend more than they're worth. And again, b'nei tikkur oilam, because we're worried that they shouldn't raise the ransom. Says the Gemara, Omle Rabudya Ravashi, ha yesa k'dei d'meim, ha d'leichim. We don't spend more than they're worth. Ha k'dei d'meim, what they're actually worth, loichim. Shema mina. So we see from here that obviously Sefer Torah shenim to be yadav k'chavim, a Sefer Torah that's found in the possession of a non-Jew, karim boy. We don't have to worry that it was written by the non-Jew, because otherwise, what's the purpose? Otherwise, what's the purpose of ransoming him? Says the Gemara, that's not a raya. Dalma, what the Gemara means here to say is, lignos, we're allowed to buy it, not to use it for reading, but we could buy it to bury. Amram nachtin, a Sefer Torah shekos famin. A Sefer Torah that was written by somebody who believes in Avodah Zarah, yisarev, should be burned. Kosvay ev t'kachavim, if it was written by a non-Jew, yigonis. Nimtza v'yad mim, if you find a Sefer Torah by a min and you don't know who wrote it, yigonis. The halacha is that since you don't know, you shouldn't burn it, but you shouldn't use it for reading. Shenimtza v'yad ev k'chavim, what happens if you find a Sefer Torah by ev k'chavim? Amri lo yigonis. Some say that it should be buried, Amrilei, and others say Karimboy, it should be used for reading. So I saw a beautiful vart from the Chibina Rav. The Chibina Rav says that we know that many people, when they donate a Sefer Torah, when they donate a Sefer Torah, they're careful that the Sefer Torah, the last words of the Sefer Torah, are written by many people who want to participate in the mitzvah. And the question that the Chibina Rav discusses, is this appropriate? These people who are writing these letters are people who are not really soifrim, and it doesn't come out nice. So maybe we should insist that the soifer, just like he wrote the entire Sefer Torah, should write the last letters. So he says, our Gemara, says the Chibina Rav, is the reason for the minig that the last letters of a Sefer Torah should specifically be written by everybody. Because our Gemara, says, just taught us about a situation where we have a Sefer Torah and we're not quite sure who wrote the Sefer Torah. But he says, if we have a Sefer Torah and we see that the Sefer Torah was written this way, it's clearly an indication that the Sefer Torah was written by Jews who followed the Minig Yisrael. And in fact, the Pnei Menachem, when he heard this fart, said that's pshat that we say Minig Yisrael Torah. What does it mean, Minig Yisrael Torah? The Minig Yisrael that everybody writes into the Sefer Torah is the basis how we could approve that the Torah was truly written properly by somebody who is qualified to write the Torah. Says the Gemara, Sefer Torah Shekosa Ev Kachavim, says the Gemara regarding Sefer Torah that was written by Ev Kachavim, the number of brises. Tanicha, the one brise says, Yisarif, it should be burnt. Tanya Yidach, another brise says, Yigonis, it should be buried. Tanya Yidach, Karim, but we can read from it. Says the Gemara, how do we reconcile all these brises? Says Gemara, Loi Kasha, how do Tanya Yisarif, the brice that says that it should be burnt, Rav Elezahi. It follows the opinion of Elezah. The Omer, Stamach Sheves Averis Kachavim, Averis Kachavim. Whenever a guy does something, he means Avodah Zarah. And since whenever a guy does something, he means Avodah Zarah, so Sefer Torah that was written with shame Avodah Zarah should obviously not be used. Vada Tanya Yigonis, the one that says it should be put away, buried. Hai Tanahu, the Tanah of Amnuna Breder of Rava Mepeshune. Sefer Torah Tfilah Mezuzahs. Shekosfun Mosur, somebody who gives over Jewish money to the non-Jews, or ev kachavim ve'eved ve'ish ve'katan ve'kuti ve'yisrael mumim psulim. Why? Shnemer kshatem lois ayudecha v'ayilu tetofes be'reinecha uchsavtem amazuzos be'secha v'shirecha. So we learn from here, kosh yeshna b'kshira, whoever is obviously obligated to put on tefillin, yeshna b'ksiva, to write the tefillin. The kosh ena b'kshira, but somebody who he himself doesn't put on tefillin, ena b'ksiva. And therefore all these people who aren't relevant to Torah can't write the Sefer Torah. For the Tanya, Karim Bar Yehai Tanya, who the Tanya, Loichen Svarim Arav Tekachavim Kol Mokam, we could buy Svarim from Akum anywhere, Uvachi Yiksub Mikol Chosam, as long as they were written properly. And says the Gemara, Maisav Arav Tekachavim, Zemara, there was actually a story in Arav Tekachavim, but Sidoin, they lived in Sidon, Shai Kaisin Svarim, they would write Sefer Torah, Vehitte Rav Gamliel, Likach Memenu, he allowed them to be purchased from them. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that we're allowed to buy a Sefer Torah from Rav Kachavim. Ibad Lishman by the Ksivan Lishman Labai. The halacha is that when we prepare the leather, the parchment, it has to be done Lishman. So doesn't the Ksiva also have to be done Lishma? So how can we accept the Sefer Torah that they wrote? The Tanya says the halacha is Tzipan Zov. If somebody coated his tefillin with gold, or Shetalan Leim Yahar Be'eim Tameya, or you made the batim of the tefillin from the hide of a non-kosher animal, psulish. Because the pasuk says, v'hoi lo'is ayotcha ul'zikaram b'neinecha l'man tia teres Hashem b'ficha. You have to make it from something, medvarim ha'mutarim lech b'ficha, something you're allowed to eat. M'yar b'heimet ta'ira, k'sheris. V'av b'shloi ivdin l'shmon. As long as they're used from the hide of a kosher animal, it's good enough. V'shim g'malil ha'imah, afilo ar b'heimet t'mei psulis. Even that type of leather is possible. Achi yavdim l'shma. So we see that if the preparation of the cloth has to be done l'shma, certainly the writing has to be done l'shma. And therefore, how can we say that if it was written by a non-Jew, it's kosher? Answers the Gemara, Rav Shimon Gamaliel wasn't talking about a regular non-Jew. He's talking about the ger shechazer l'surai. A ger who was born a non-Jew, and then he went and he converted, and then he went back to be an Ovid of Avodah Zarah. Says the Gemara, if that's the status of this individual, L'surah koshke davle min. So such an individual is a min. How can we accept the Sefer Torah that he wrote? Amar Vasher, Shechaz L'surah Meishim Yira. It's not that he really believes in the Avodah Zarah. Chas V'Sholem, he doesn't believe in the Avodah Zarah. Rather, the situation here is that they were very dissatisfied that he became a Jew, and that's why he went back. Tan Rabbanan, when we spoke in the Mishnah that we're not allowed to spend more than the value for a Sefer Torah, but the Gemara says, how much are we allowed to spend to ransom them? Tan Rabbanan Malam B'Demeyem Akadei Tarpik. A Tarpik is not a very significant amount of money. You're allowed to pay more than a Tarpik than they're worth. My Tarpik, Amar Rav Sheshes, Istra, which is a chatzi dinner. Says the Gemara, he tayosa. There was a non-Jewish Arab woman. The Aisa chayta the tefillin kamei debaya. She brought a bag with pairs of tefillin to a baya, because obviously she had gotten them somehow, and she wanted a baya to buy them. Amala, yavisli resh resh betamri. She said, are you willing to take each pair for a date? Imla zahara, she got angry. Shokla, and she took them. She descended in the Har and she threw them into the river. Amr so Abaya said, I was trying to bargain with her to get a good price. But Abaya said, L'boy le lezuna ba'apet kolahai, I should have been a little more careful. So here our Gemara speaks about a number of situations about Sefer Torah, Sefer Kedusha, that are in the hands of non-Jews, and what should we do, and who can we write them? There are many, many shilas. One shila is, that what happens if a non-Jew asks you to buy for him a mezuzah? He sees that all the Jewish homes have a mezuzah, the Jewish home are protected, so he wants that protection as well. The Maril already discusses this halacha, and the Maril says that one should not sell him the mezuzah. Why? Because he says that what happens if there's a break-in the home of the non-Jew who bought a mezuzah. So the non-Jew is going to say, this mezuzah is worthless. You see, it wasn't able to protect me. And he's going to treat that mezuzah disrespectfully. And therefore, the halacha is that one should not sell it. But then, the Ramah, in Yeridei, Simmerich Tzadik Aleph Sebeis discusses the Shaila. And he says that b'makom sheyesh lakosh b'shem eva, it would concern about the non-Jews' reaction to our refusal to sell him a mezuzah, v'shiyeir m'shem zel Yisrael, and if we're worried about how they're going to treat us, mutter. We've also spoken in our Gemara how we should be so careful not to, about ransoming the Sefer Torah. Of course, the value we should certainly pay a little more, as we just learned in the Gemara. So the question is, what is the halacha if there's a Sefer Torah that's in a museum? And when it's in a museum, it's certainly treated properly. So is the halacha that one should ransom that Sefer Torah because it's still not in the hands of Jews? So Rav Ozan, the Shaila of Tshuva Shevet Alevi, Chelek Yud Simen Kuf Ayin Ches discusses this question. And he says, it seems from our Gemara that there is no difference. And since the Gemara seems to say that there is no difference, that we have to ransom the Sefer Torah from the Akum, the halacha is that even if it's in a museum and it's being treated with the great respect, one should not spend money on ransoming it. The Gemara also spoke about Sefer Torah shekos v'min. And the Paiskim discuss very extensively what is the halacha about Sfarim, not Sefer Torah, but Sfarim that were printed by people that are not Yirei Shemayim, that don't act appropriately. Should one purchase such Sfarim? There's a very interesting story that happened with the Noam HaMelech. The Noam HaMelech once had a Rebbe, a Malamed for his children, who was a very special individual, a Yirei Shemayim and a Talmud Chacham. And yet, the children of the Noam HaMelech weren't able to understand anything that he taught them. They weren't able to learn by him. So the Noam HaMelech tried to investigate who was his Rebbe, that this Rebbe learned from. And it turned out that this Rebbe of the Noam HaMelech's children had studied under a Rebbe who was not of the highest caliber of Yirei Shemayim. So at that point, the Noam HaMelech said, I could well understand why my children couldn't learn from you. To be able to succeed in learning, the Rebbe has to be of the highest caliber of Yirei Shemayim. And if you learn Torah from a person who's not on that level, your Torah will not be the proper level. There are a number of other shailas. The Paiskim discuss the Debrecina Rav and the Shailas of Tshuvas Ber Moshe has a long discussion. If one is allowed to sing nigunim, sing songs that are beautiful Hebrew songs that were composed by people who weren't Yirei Shemayim or by non-Jews, and use them when you daven, when you use them for davening in the shul. And he says, for certain, that is prohibited. And he uses our Gemara to show that the influence of whoever composed something is so prevalent in what we sing from him and daven from him that we have to be so careful. There's another interesting question. What's the halacha if there's a sofer that doesn't put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin? And our Gemara just taught us, Kol sheyeshno b'ksiva, yeshno b'kshira, yeshno b'ksiva. In order for a person to be the individual who we could accept to write the tefillin, it's somebody who he himself is obligated in that mitzvah. So the question is, if this person doesn't feel that he should put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, maybe he should be the one to write Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. And that is the opinion of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The Shas HaTshuvas Pnei Maven, Chelek Aleph Simen Yudalid, disagrees, and he says that a person who doesn't put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin is because he doesn't feel that he's on the level that he should be being Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. But it's not that he doesn't believe in them, and therefore the halacha is that one should put on the Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. Similarly, there's a question if somebody unfortunately is not well and he needs help for somebody else that to help him put on tefillin, Rabbeinu Tam says that a woman should not help him put on the Rabbeinu Tam tefillin because she's not obligated in the tefillin. There are many that disagree and say that the halacha of our Gemara is only regarding the ksiva of tefillin. We're not speaking about the kshira of the helping putting on tefillin is not the mitzvah, and therefore the halacha is that one should not have lechatchila not use a woman to help you put on tefillin, but the evidence is acceptable. And the same halacha comes up regarding putting on a mezuzah. The lechatchila, the Rishonim say a woman should not be the one to put up the mezuzah, but the evidence is acceptable.